How've you been?
Good,
Yeah,
good.
good. Great. Hey, I want to talk to you. Maybe just an email. Kristen said you are maybe interested in buying one of the red chairs.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about that maybe even after the call, or we could just do a brief email exchange.
Yeah, email exchange I think would be best.
Okay, groovy.
That's stuff to do right after the call.
Yeah, great. No problem. Who else just came on?
Hi, it's Trinity.
Hey, you. How's it going?
Hi, good.
Good. Good, good. Well, we'll just hang out. I'm obviously you both know because you were both on there too. I'm just responding to some of the comments on the Facebook forum. And Sarah, I'm actually in the process of responding to you. So I'm going to just be quiet for a sec, okay, so I can finish this thought. And post it before it gets accidentally deleted or something.
How are you, Trinity?
I'm well. I thought my summertime would super slow down because a lot of my students rely on their kids being in school to come to class. And I ended up with, like, I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 11 students in the last 3 weeks.
Wow. That's great. Leaving or coming?
I'm sorry, what's that?
So you had 10 or 11 students coming in the last 2 weeks, is that what you were saying?
I had 10 or 11 new students, brand new,
Wow.
starting their intro classes in like
Awesome.
3 weeks. So I kind of got a little caught off guard with that.
Yeah, I imagine. You're like, hey, summer. Not really.
I know, right. Do other people come on the call? Bonnie is here.
Yep, it's
Hi,
Archie.
Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Harjeet. This is Trinity. Shinto is just taking another moment to respond to the Facebook post, and then she'll be back momentarily.
All right. I'm like walking around my yard. I just walked into a spider web.
Nice. Did you turn into a ninja?
More like a horse. I made a horse movie.
Yeah, this is off topic, but I so have like sewing envy after I didn't realize that you sewed the way that you do.
Yeah, I try to sew my wardrobe. That's my goal through my sewing is to sew all the clothes that I wear, which I have to get into athletic wear if I'm really going to reach that goal, but I just have to.
Okay.
My goal is to ever sew one garment. Oh, good. I think Chantal's back.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks, Trinity, for holding down the fort. And just to piggyback on that aside for everybody else who's on the call, Bonnie and Harjeet, Sarah Clark, who is on the call and in our program, this is her second year. She's getting ready to test out probably at the end of the summer. She is an amazing seamstress. Sarah, I have to say, I knew that you were way into it. I knew you had some skill, but when I saw the dress, I just was absolutely blown away. And I have a couple of patterns that I'd like to talk to you about.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I've been doing it for a while and I just started getting people like to respond to the blog. So.
Yeah. Well, I would be happy to have you share that with anybody in the group who might be interested in seeing what you do because it's exceptional and takes such a tremendous level of skill as I know I sew a bit myself and it is just not easy. So yeah, you're a rock star.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we'll get started. We have great, a nice little group. I don't know who else might jump on the call. I really just want to put something out there though, real quick, and maybe leave it in your hands, those of you who are on the call today, to take some incentive on the Facebook forum, and perhaps we can come up with a different day and time. I know we're dealing with time zones, so that's kind of a challenge. But I really would like to find a way to enable if not ensure just a more consistent participation in the monthly call. I know it's the middle of the day and the middle of the week. This was a day and time that was actually proposed by the group about a year ago. And so I feel like I'm totally open to changing it. So if I could just request that those of you who are on the call today take the initiative to maybe start the conversation around what might be a better day and time. I would love to come up with something, as I said, that would just enable greater participation. So, I mean, I'm really happy with the call every time. I think it's a very rich experience, even when we have just two or three, as opposed to when we have 10 or 12. So it's no biggie for me. It's totally not about that. But I do want to be able to be in contact with as many of you as frequently as possible. So just wanted to put that out there. I have been spending a little bit of time today going through the responses. And it's so awesome, the responses on the Facebook forum to the questions. I'm so excited about just the level of participation and the responsiveness and everything that's coming out and what people are saying is really thrilling to me. So I think we...
Hey, Rachel.
Hi. I think we might be onto something here in terms of the way we kind of flow from month to month around the topics. With that said, I will continue to respond and would just encourage you to keep a lookout for my responses so that we can enter into a conversation and we can engage everybody else to comment and ask questions and offer insights, etc., on these things. You know, the topic for this last, you know, few weeks, based on our previous mentoring workshop, are so pivotal, so foundational. So I love what's coming out in them, and I'm excited about the discussion for today around this, these topics. But I think regardless, moving forward, we can continue to have this kind of dialogue, and it just makes the experience for everybody so much richer. So super cool. I've responded to Senta's comment about expectations with her students, which I would encourage you to read everybody else's responses when you have some time. This was question number 4, student relationships and learning approaches. And Senta, she made some really good points and some things that I question a little bit. But so I think it actually is awesome because it gives us an opportunity to look at things from a variety of perspectives. So I commented on her answer, and I think, you know, I actually would like to talk about that in our conversation today. And then, Sarah, I made just a brief comment on your response to the same question, which I think I would be happy, you know, we can get into that more in the conversation as well. What I would like to start with is, and I'm constantly doing this to her, so Trinity, I'm going to apologize in advance, but Trinity is a mentor in training and for skillful teaching and for the mentoring program, and I'm really wanting to elevate her into a new role and a new relationship with everybody and with you all. She's been assisting me in the 28-day online course, and she's going to be doing more of this, facilitating and co-facilitating the monthly calls, and then also connecting with you down the line individually during the months when I can't get to it or when you need more support or whatever it might be. So, Trinity, I'm wondering if you could you just lead us in a quick little grounding breath practice?
Sure. Is there a specific one you'd like me to do?
I have no preference. So anything maybe that you've been working with in the 28-day course that's familiar, just a few minutes, just to kind of get us all, you know, in the same headspace would be super awesome.
Absolutely. So I'm guessing everybody is sitting comfortably. And I would ask you to sit tall on your sit bones with lightness in the shoulders and length in the spine. And then just begin to notice the breath. No need to change it. just notice the quality coming in and out. And with your next in-breath, I want you to focus the breath into the front body, like you were filling the cavity of the body from the bottom upward. So let it fill the very low pelvis between the hip points, and then into the navel, and up to the low ribs and the chest. And maybe your collarbones lift and spiral upward gently. And even breathing into the front of the throat and the face. And then exhaling for softness. Breathing again into the front body, exploring forward, expanding forward from the pelvis upward. And exhaling for softness. Continue to breathe into the front body, right from the pubic bone, the very low belly, into the belly button, the low ribs.
Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
The middle ribs, the collarbone, front of the throat, and the face. Two more breaths like this, exploring the front body from the pelvis upward. Exhaling for softness. One more breath into the front body. Expanding forward. Maybe just a little bit beyond the physical limitation of the body. Upward. Chest expands. Collarbone spiral upward. Front of the throat and the face. With your next inhale, start low again in the pelvis and breathe to your side bodies. It widens the pelvis and the waistline and the side ribs up into the armpits like you had gills. The shoulders stay nice and heavy, upward even into the sides of the throat and the sides of the skull. And exhale for softness. Breathing in again, filling from low in the pelvis, outward, side to side. Pelvis, low ribs, higher ribs, up into the armpit. Shoulders stay heavy, sides of the throat, sides of the skull. Three more breaths like that, expanding side to side infinitely, beyond the physical limitation of the body. And two more, wide into the side body, from low, from the pelvis, upward, 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 shoulders stay heavy, sides of the throat, sides of the skull. One more from here, start very low, standing out, 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 and up. Ribcage opens like an umbrella to the side. And with your next in-breath, take it right in through the tailbone. Breathe across the back of the sacrum, over the top of the pelvis, into the low spine, into the kidneys. Dig into the rib cage like you're exploring backward. Back of the neck. Back of the skull. Exhale for softness. Again, drawing the breath in through the tailbone, across the back of the sacrum, up the spine, into the kidneys. Dig into the back of the rib cage, letting the rib cage open backwards and gently lift. Back of the throat, back of the skull. Three more breaths here, exploring the back body. Breath right in from the tailbone. Upward and backward, making the body bigger, stretching it from the inside out. And two last breaths like this, lower the back body, open it up, ask it to move gently, subtle. And exhale. One last breath into your back body. And with your next in-breath, take it three-dimensionally, front to back, side to side. Outward, 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 up gently, shoulders stay heavy, spine is long. And then a gentle squeezing breath here, like you could squeeze that breath right out through the crown of the head. And then again, full from the tailbone, fill the pelvis, front to back, side to side. Feel the waistline front to back, side to side, and the ribs front to back, side to side. The tops of the shoulders, collarbones, while your actual shoulders stay heavy, all around the neck and the throat, and the skull. Squeeze the breath out like you could push the air right out through the crown of your head, and three final breaths like this, standing from the bottom, upward, outward, three-dimensionally, and two final breaths from the tail. Let the pelvis open and widen gently, waistline, loaded, high lift right into the armpit, collarbone. And exhale, gentle squeezing breath, one more breath like this. So from the bottom, outward, forward, back, side to side. And exhale, one last squeezing breath. Good. From here, let your breath return to normal. And if your eyes were closed, let them open now. And I'll hand it back to Chantal.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Very welcome.
Much needed for me. Very helpful for me to get into focus. I hope that all of you enjoy taking a moment for that. What I would love to do is start with a little bit like the format of the 28-day course. It's just to check in with each one of you and we'd be interested to hear a current teaching success and a current teaching challenge. So just a little reflection on what's been going really awesome, really well, can be an overarching feeling or quality in your teaching or maybe a specific moment. And then something that you might be struggling with, questioning, or being challenged by. So I'm going to go ahead and start with, if I can remember who came on the line, in what order. And if I've missed somebody, forgive me. But I'm going to start with Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
So something that I felt really good about, it just in general, I felt like really on point with my clients, like when they need something from me, I've been able to, on the spot, pull in my bag of tricks and give it to them without feeling like that panic in the back of my mind that I would get more when I was super fresh to teaching. Not that I'm old hat or anything, but, you know. And specifically, I'm getting some of my older clients much better at their balancing. We're working on standing leg work, and I feel like some of them I'm ready to progress to, like, arabesque or something like that.
Awesome.
So that, I set that as a little goal for myself, so I feel really good that is getting better. My clients are getting much better at that. And then something I've been struggling with is just finding clients. And not necessarily so much with retaining clients, just because I haven't had as many coming to me, but I do struggle a little bit with the first session still. And I'm working on kind of like I feel like the first session is a little formulaic, so just finding what that formula is for me to get better results. It's not that I've had necessarily bad results because I haven't had as much time to try it, but isn't that part of the problem is that I don't get the opportunity to have that first session very often. So that definitely would be
you what I'm struggling with.
Oh, great. Thank you for that, Sarah. Thank you for being so specific. Congratulations on the work that you are doing with your clients in terms of balance. Quick question. You feel like the initial session needs to be formulaic or is too formulaic?
It needs a little bit more of a formula.
Okay.
Because I feel like in general, it is more formulaic than you would have sessions beyond that. Like, you're trying to show people kind of a specific thing. You want to show them that part of the formula is keeping their goals and making sure that they get sparked by that, but it's also a little bit of, like, making sure they understand what Pilates is, making sure that they get a chance to get on the equipment. You know, sometimes I find myself keeping them on the floor a little too long, just kind of figuring out. I feel like it's a little bit of a formula.
Yes. Okay, great. It is definitely a formula, and it is a very good idea to create and stick to a formula. And there is a resource, which sounds like maybe you have accessed it, but if not, there's a resource on the mentoring forum that is actually an intake process. So it's a formula, essentially, a step-by-step. Here's exactly what to do. Here's the time frame in which to spend on all of these given things. So if you haven't accessed that, or if anybody's interested in, you know, taking a look at how that compares to what you're doing, or if you want some guidance, that's actually a really excellent tool. And then within that, of course, as you mentioned, Sarah, it's a little bit like you have to take that and then you have to see what's really working for you in terms of your teaching style, and what, you know, what your strengths are. So if you haven't accessed that, I think it's called Intake Procedures. It's on the mentoring forum and probably under Teaching Tools. So that would be, if you haven't looked at that, that would be a great resource for you.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Trinity?
Yes.
Something
I feel like I'm feeling accomplished with maybe that's a hard one right now.
Okay.
I've had a lot of new students in the last 3 weeks, somewhere between 10 and 12 is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, I insist that all of my students begin with, at least 3 private sessions, although now that I've done a bunch, I feel like people could use more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so just a lot of new students, my note-taking has improved greatly. There was no room to fudge or slack off on my note-taking because I had so many people starting at one time. It's tricky to keep everybody organized in my mind. If I have 1 or 2 new students at one time, it's easier, it's simple.
Yeah.
So my note-taking has gotten much better, which isn't, you know, specifically about teaching, but it is about, you know, everything in general.
Yeah.
And then something I'm struggling with right now, or not sure about, it's kind of in line with, I guess because I've done all those intakes, initial intro sessions, is similar to what Sarah is talking about, is that I have a formula of what I do, but then obviously when a person, you know, body in person comes, you know, are in front of you, things change and they need different things. And I'm just wondering if I do need to change things as far as what my intro package is and how much time I'm spending with each person before I integrate them into a trio.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other thing as well that I had commented somewhere on the forum that, you know, I live in a little tiny community and I've lived here since I was 4. So I know a lot of people, and the boundary thing in the student relationships part of the reading, that's it, things are feeling like the lines are muddled right now.
Hmm.
And I'm just not totally clear on how to get clearer. Because it is easy to be very, you know, just myself, aside from my teaching self, just myself that I've been, because I've known all these people. I mean, some of these people I've known for 30-plus years. So just trying to look for some clearer boundaries with what I'm sharing and finding that balance between don't share too much, but don't be all business either.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, those are my things right now.
Yeah, great. It's interesting, the intake, both of the topics that you and Sarah have brought up so far, I think, do resonate with the topics of the month, right? Setting expectations is a part of that original intake. Whether or not, how you do that, how you set boundaries, your demeanor, the way you establish and maintain relationships, definitely is in alignment with what you're talking about, and it's a tricky situation that you're in, you know, requires more of you in terms of maintaining professionalism. So maybe those things will come up in the rest of our conversation today. Okay, I'm going to say Bonnie is next.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Bonnie.
I would say my recent success with a client, after just opening the studio in December, I've worked with a lady who's in her 40s, and she was very weak and didn't have a lot of connection. And this, she's into her second package of 10, and just this week, she has, like, blossomed with her strength and connecting her breath to her movement, and she is seeing the results as well, and she's just like, wow, I can't believe how strong I'm getting. This is great. But that would be my recent success. And a challenge, I have a few clients that just have such a hard time connecting to their bodies. So, like, I'll be working on something, like connecting their arms to their back or a pelvic tilt, and you don't see any movement happening, even though you're working with them and giving cues. And sometimes I struggle with, okay, how much time do I focus on getting movement to happen? Should I just keep moving on and, you know, connect it into other lessons and during the week? So that's just something that I'd like to see something happen to move on to the next step, so to speak. So, like, how long do I keep on with someone with an issue that I'm not seeing any movement in?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, it can be super challenging. Thank you, Bonnie. And congratulations on that student. That's so awesome when we get that, when we have that breakthrough. That's really, really exciting. Okay, let's see. Bonnie and Harjeet.
Hi, can you hear me fine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll start with a recent teaching success. So while I was teaching a client, at the end of the session, I had some free time, like right towards the end, and I was thinking about how I was going to finish, and I decided that instead of doing my usual, which was getting a little bit too easy for her, I decided to just try something harder, even though I hadn't actually prepared or prepped the exercise. I hadn't actually done it myself for quite a while. I hadn't taught it to anyone else. I hadn't even, like, looked at my manual before for a while. I didn't remember all the little details, but just the, I guess, the broad exercise. And I just decided to do it, and it went completely fine. But, you know, she didn't really notice the bits that were missing. And I was able to answer her questions on, you know, how to make it easier for her. And, yeah, I surprised myself.
Very good.
And for my challenge, so I was teaching a different client, and she was doing this exercise, and from the start, she was doing it good, but then as she was continuing, her form started, I guess you could say, changing in a way where it was getting worse. Hmm. And then I tried to give some corrections, and she was starting to get more frustrated, and then she kind of got worse and worse. And then by the end of it was like she wanted to know how she did. And usually I can think of something positive or reassuring to say, but at the same time, I find it very hard to not be honest. And I didn't know how to be reassuring without lying, and I just ended up just saying something, and I felt like I had to lie to make her feel better. And I didn't know what to say in that situation because it was the first time I encountered something like that.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's a bigger conversation to have. I mean, certainly I think we don't want to be inauthentic, but we do also want to feel like we are able to offer encouragement. I would like to know more about that situation, Harjeet. Maybe that's something we can discuss in our next one-on-one or you know, I don't know if you'd even be willing to share that on the forum. It could be an interesting discussion. But yeah, totally, totally see how that can be challenging. So thank you.
Okay.
And let's see, Rachel?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. A recent success, I had a really great session with a client who, actually she's got some sort of postural issues, both in pelvic area and the shoulders, but she's, you know, she's pretty tight in the shoulders and kyphotic and a little head forward. And I kind of went through it, you know, formulaically with like, you know, releasing the pecs and the neck. And I, did some work with her to get her to engage her serratus, which is really, really challenging for her. And initially, you know, she was sort of challenged by my initial exercise, but I kept going and I just tried something different. You know, I didn't know how long I would try it for, but I gave it a little bit more time than I kind of even wanted to. I sort of wanted to give it to, but I stuck with it and she stuck with it and she had like a total amazing breakthrough and found the engagement and totally, like, I touched her upper trapezius, melted. It was like amazing. I'm like, oh my God, this is, you know, this is why we do this. Getting you into that part of your body. So she felt it and I felt it and, you know, we both had a great moment. Yay, Pilates, it works kind of thing. So I think a challenge that I am having with some of my students, more some of my private training students and those that come to my machine classes that are pretty small, they're only 5 in attendance, is you know, just getting them to really retain things. I think it's a little bit like Bonnie talked about. They tend to be, those type of people tend to be, I mean, have a few more issues in their posture than people who come to, like, say, my mat class, which I feel like they're really taking off and I'm seeing improvements in them. Mm. But I'm not sure if it's my teaching or a combination of both, of maybe they just really want to be spoon-fed and led and are not necessarily taking ownership of their knowledge. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I need them to be a little bit more independent on some basic level so we can all move up to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. It just brings up one thought that I'll share really quickly, which is I have had more and more of this experience lately, or maybe it's just a, recognition of an experience that has perhaps been happening for a long time and I just did not notice, which is it is fairly easy, I believe, have the experience in my own body and now am kind of keenly aware of watching this experience happen for other people, is that we take for granted the fact that we're on a piece of equipment that's there to kind of do the work for us a little bit and support us. And, you know, the whole idea of the equipment putting us in a gravity reduced environment and, you know, yada, yada, and all of this. But I do think that it's actually very easy to do less work on the equipment, which maybe is not, is very, you know, a real obvious statement, but that it makes sense that perhaps we would see less improvement, less stickiness in the work and those people who are doing regular equipment classes, both from a mental perspective, right, that like the lack of willingness perhaps to take on and own the work, but also the fact that it's just very easy to like just lie on the reformer and kind of just lie there passively. And we're doing footwork and we're pushing in and out. And yet really, is the whole body deeply engaged? Is the upper back engaged? You know, is everything really working? Are we working with the equipment? Are we using the equipment? Are we doing the work for ourselves and not just letting the equipment do it for us? So I don't know, maybe there's something to that. In that scenario and perhaps in Bonnie's scenario, I don't know, but could be something interesting to explore for yourself to see if there's a relationship there. I know I have become, as I said, really strongly aware of that as a pattern for people who've been working on the equipment for a long time. And one of the things I have really been working on myself and my teaching is to make a point and make time to teach the student or perhaps reteach them how to actually work on the equipment, you know, work with the equipment, to use the equipment, to stay engaged holistically throughout, you know, an entire session. So I don't know, for what's that worth, what that is worth could be interesting. But thank you for that, Rachel. Thank you. And I think then the last person to come on was Darlene.
Yes, hi.
Oh, hello.
I hope that I felt so badly that I came in on the meditation. I'm sorry about
that,
okay. Everyone.
It's okay.
But I had a client that came late. Anyway, so my successes, there's a couple things. One, that I feel good that I took on doing classes teaching tower, and it was a pretty scary thing, because I feel like I'm not very experienced, obviously, but so that was good. But then I left on a vacation for 3 weeks, so I actually haven't taught since I got back, just yesterday or the day before. So I'm a little kind of just getting back into work mode, but that was a good success before I left. I felt really good about that. And trying to think, I also, a client that I worked with, I started to really see some progression and ownership of what she was doing, and that really felt good. She was remembering exercises better, and then when I left for the 3 weeks, she decided to continue taking a mat class, and I also had given my students a 30-minute video. That was another thing I did. I created a 30-minute video for people while I was away in mat class, and that felt good. So that was neat that she also, you know, took, you know, action to be to keep up, and she said she wanted to impress me when I got back. So that was nice. The thing I'm not feeling good about is, I feel like I'm a little out of balance. I'm usually very responsible and in regard to my work and things, and it's not that I've been irresponsible, but by being away, I did do Pilates while I was away, I have to say, but in terms of keeping up with the mentoring program, I feel a little bit badly about that. I didn't do the work this month and the exercise that you offered. So that's what I have for you.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on your successes. And it is never too late to just dive in and catch up. And still plenty of time to add your comments. Really, I had set a deadline for Friday for people to, you know, respond to the questions. And as I respond to what's already been posted, again, I think that the conversation will continue to just be fostered beyond Friday, obviously, is the hope, is that it just keeps moving, keeps rolling. And so plenty of time, no need to feel, bad about that. Yeah. And that goes for everybody who's on the call and who's listening is, you know, there's so much, I realize that there's so much content. And I also try to be very explicit in that, you know, the material is there, the bulk of it, for you to use when you're ready to use it. And I simply I'm a signpost. I get to point you in the right direction. So there is a lot of swimming around. There's a lot of video right now. There's a lot of stuff. It's all valuable. It's all really wonderful. But I never want you to feel like you're under pressure. However, I do want you to live up to your commitment to participating, which to me means get in there and do the work as often and frequently as you can, with the acknowledgement for yourself that, you know, our lives are full and busy. And if we fall off or we leave town or whatever happens, we can come back to that. Which actually, I think, is a good segue into what I thought we would start talking about today, or just continue from the online conversation, is expectations and boundaries. And I'm willing to let this go in whatever direction feels relevant. A couple of things I want to just comment on from what's been posted on the forum, and then I'll open it up to other comments and you know, insights, questions, etc. Is that it is part of what we do in this program is open up the opportunity to look at some of the things that don't get spoken about or taught or looked at during our teacher training programs, or perhaps at any point in our teaching careers explicitly. And I want to really set the stage for just helping you to get clear about what's really important to you. What are your expectations? Expectations are not bad. Expectations are wonderful and helpful when they are acknowledged and they are clear. When they get dangerous is when we have unacknowledged expectations of ourselves and of our students, which means that we don't know that we have these expectations, and yet we are acting on them, whether we fall short of them or our students fall short of them. And then that's causing some sense of dissatisfaction or misalignment or even resentment within us and within our students. So expectations are wonderful. And I would encourage you to find ways to make them explicit, not just to hold them in your head. But once you have defined them and you've gotten clear about them, we absolutely need to express them. And we can do that in a variety of ways. It can be in a written contract. You know, many of us have intake forms and studio releases or client releases that we have our students fill out and agree to. Some of us have policy sheets that they have to initial and sign. Those are very nice, explicit ways. We can verbally go over them as well as have them in writing. We can decide to just verbally go over them. But if you just do verbal acknowledgments, you need to reiterate them, I find. So that it's not just a one-time deal. So there was a really well thought out, wonderful comment from Senta about that I just want to read. She said, "I try not to impose my expectations on my clients or students. At least from where I stand now as a new teacher, I more try to listen to their needs and what I can learn from them, and use that as fuel for my teaching." And I love that. I think we do need to find this balance between what our expectations are, but we also need to be flexible and malleable, and we need to be able to assess and reassess and correct course. You know, one without the other just becomes rigidity, and it often becomes a little bit militant, and ultimately I think that detracts from our students' level of dedication and motivation. But my comment to Senta, and you can look at this on the forum now or later, is just that, you know, I really appreciate, she made a point of talking about really listening to her students, which I think is obviously an incredibly important part of teaching. And yet I do feel very strongly that coming up with expectations and announcing those expectations from the beginning is also one of the best ways that we can ensure our success and the success of our students. Okay, so that's one thing around expectations. And then I wanted to to also just touch on something that Sarah said, which is, and it's more to me in the language in which you wrote your answer, Sarah, and I'll let you comment on this, you know, speak to it directly, is that your students should be on time. And, you know, they shouldn't be disruptive, and they should be clean, and they, should be committed to showing up, you know, and all of these things. Yes, I mean, I would agree with all of those. And I think that perhaps the underlying piece for me is, whether or not they should be has no relationship to whether or not they are. And no relationship to whether or not we are actually supporting them in being those things. And one of those ways that we can support them is by making our expectations and setting our boundaries and being incredibly explicit and clear about them. And again, I think that comes back to not just announcing them once, not just showing them in writing once and having them sign something, because in my experience, over the last 15 years, people read something and they don't actually read it. So you're constantly having to remind them. But more than that, perhaps, and Rachel made mention of this in one of her comments, is being incredibly dedicated to embodying the expectation that we hold for our students in ourselves. So showing up early, being prepared, you know, dressing professionally, you know, sharing and expressing our commitment level to our own practice. You know, when our students see us embodying the expectations, they become intrinsically motivated to do the same. So, expectations, boundaries. I'm going to open it up and see what else there is that you all have to say, or questions or comments. And Sarah, if you want to jump in, as a starting point, that would be awesome too. Are you all out there?
This is Darlene. I guess I was thinking about what you were saying about how to continue to keep those expectations alive.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like you said, you know, doing it, embodying it yourself, which is something I really find important, and I've tried to do that. But yeah, it's interesting. I set out some expectations for one of my clients in an email while I was away, and I noticed that they didn't respond at all. So I'm just kind of wondering, like, how to approach that, how to keep those expectations alive. You know, do we mention them or while we're working with clients, like, or I guess acknowledging when they do it or when they don't in some way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like how, what's the way to keep them alive without, you know, kind of being a dictator.
Yeah, or without badgering them.
Yeah, inspiring without, you know, cracking the whip, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah. Does anybody have suggestions or thoughts on that question? Anything that you do that you feel like is successful or you are have been inclined to do? Nobody's reinforcing expectations.
This is Trinity.
Hiya.
I guess I'm only chiming in because I find myself struggling with the same sort of a thing. It's like I don't want to be everyone's mom or something, you know? Like, I want people to come in here like they're adults. And it's tricky for me to find that balance of how do I gently let people know that this is exactly what I expect from them. And it's I don't have any awesome input on what that might look like, because this piece is maddening to me. Just kind of like what Darlene's expressing. How do you make your expectations explicit? It's a little bit beyond me right now, because, well, one of the things I had written was that, you know, I need to, maybe create a welcome letter. And then what you're saying is to reiterate. I'm not sure about this. This is something that I'm struggling with on a regular basis. I had 3 students show up today for TRIO, all at the same time, about 2 or 3 minutes late, and then stand at the front door and talk.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I get it. I get that it's difficult, and we don't. Yeah. I mean, I have certainly struggled with this myself. And I like to be the nice guy. I like to be the one who is understanding, and I am incredibly good at being a diplomat. And yet, you know, over the years, what I have come to also see and to learn is that, you know, You just have to take charge. Like, you just have to get a little uncomfortable, I think, and step outside of that, like, oh, but I'm this kind of person, or oh, but that makes me a little uncomfortable, or oh, I don't want to be this or be perceived as that. And if your whole class is showing up late outside the door, it's like, you need to walk outside and you need to say, ladies, we should have started 3 minutes ago. Please come in and lie down on the reformers. It's like, get your asses in gear. This is serious business. You know, you're paying me for my time. You know, it's like, I feel like it's really okay to be humorous and kind and understanding and malleable and to work with our students. And I also feel like it's equally okay and totally appropriate to be like, you know, I noticed that for the last few weeks, we've been kind of shown, and I say we, there's a little somatic trick that we can do, which is when we talk about something that's negative, we say we. So I've noticed that we are showing up a little bit late more and more over the last few weeks, and what I would request of you is that you show up at least 5 minutes before class and be prepared to start on time. Cause I value your time. I value the money that you spend to come to, you know, see me. And I really want to be able to uphold my end of our agreement. You know, it's like, and then when you say something positive, you use the, you know, you, so that's a little something that you can play with that helps, I think, to lessen the, implication of blame. But, you know, it's like in that specific moment, which, you know, we've all, I think, been faced with those kinds of things. It's like, clients talking during a session has come up in conversations before with you all and with other teachers that I've had. And it's like, yeah, ha ha. All right, ladies, time to stop the gab. Like, let's get to work. Or, ladies and gentlemen, whatever it is, you know, I'm gonna ask you to stop talking now. We need to really get to work. It's like it's okay to put on your serious face and to be a little bit like, look, I'm done putting up with this. You're here for a reason. And then that often warrants a follow-up conversation, can warrant a private conversation, not typically an email conversation. I find does not foster goodwill. So, like, even a little ha-ha joking reinforcement moment at the end of class, like a little reminder, maybe it prompts you to actually send out a newsletter, which is different than just, you know, reinforcing something in an email, but in an actual, like, business or studio newsletter that says, you know, I just thought it would be helpful to get everybody to reinvest in their commitment to do the following things as, you know, as a commitment to their practice, yada, yada. You might notice that I did that in the mentoring forum by posting the code of conduct for everybody. It is relevant to the topic of last week, but also not really. But it does what it does for me is it makes me, it makes you aware that you have committed to something and exactly what the expectations that I hold of you and you should hold of me and one another. And I get you to acknowledge it. And then it's right on it, right? That's the gateway to, okay, here's your homework. Here are the questions. And it's simple. It's very straightforward. It's non-blaming. It's a reiteration. It's a reinforcement. I think there are lots of ways to set expectations and to reinforce them. Sometimes it takes a little bit of a group effort. So for us as teachers, it's like maybe for 1 week, we just like at the beginning of every class and session, we say, hey, look, I know we're coming into summer. I thought it was a really great time to one, reassess your goals and have a discussion about the progress that you've made in the last X amount of time, which is awesome. And also just to remind us both of our commitment to working together, which looks like making sure that we're showing up on time, reminding, you know, you of the 24-hour cancellation policy, and to talk about, you know, what it means to really own this Pilates practice. I think these kinds of conversations are not happening enough with our students. And I think just making an effort, setting the intention to do this, maybe even on a quarterly basis, would be really helpful for most of us. One, again, it would help us to be explicit about our expectations. We would write them down and then we could be talking about them and we can set the energy. We can set a vibe for everybody to hopefully align with. And the truth is, not everybody is gonna, and you might end up losing some students. And my opinion is it's for the better. If your student's not willing to adhere or commit in the same way that you are better off making space for somebody who is. So I think putting on that, like drawing that hard line sometimes, you know, being a little bit like, look, you know, let's get back on track. Let's, you know, cut the wishy-washy nonsense. Let's do what we're here to do. Can be both encouraging, incentivizing, motivating, and also it can clear the way for people who we really want to be in our spaces and who we want to be teaching. The other thing I'll say real quickly, and then open it up again, is that I also think it's incredibly valuable to have a consistent message, which means that wherever you have the capacity is to reiterate your expectations in some way, interweave them into your website, into your marketing material, into your voicemail, into your business card, into the messages that are around the studio, into the language that you use. So consistency of message is really important. And that translates also to, like, how do you treat people when they show up late? Are you really friendly and understanding? Do you acknowledge them? Do you make them comfy? Do you take your attention to the late person? If you do that, you're sending a message that says, oh, it's okay if you show up late consistently. Go ahead and show up late next time. If you don't acknowledge them, you know, and it's not a like, I'm ignoring you because I'm mad at you. It's just, look, I started 5 minutes ago. We're in a session with, you know, several other people. I'm not going to take my attention away from the group to cater to the late person. So it's those little things, I think, too, in terms of the consistency of our message that can really help us adhere to the boundaries and expectations that we set. So I would love to hear anybody's thoughts or comments on any of that or other things. Questions or other challenges around this?
Well, it's Darlene again. The one thing I will say is what I've noticed in myself with classes and teachers that I've worked with is that the ones that do create that strong expectations and do have that for me and for the other students, you know, I really do respect them so much more, and I really do value them more. So I have to remind myself of that, that it's really a gift to all of the students when that occurs, because you do have that consistency and, you know, commitment.
Yes.
It creates that. So it's, you know, and that's obvious, but it is a good reminder for me, like, yeah, you know, I might not always like that sometimes, like, it makes me uncomfortable, but at times, you know, if I'm the one who came a few minutes late or whatever, but it's good.
Yeah, it is good. It is a great reminder, and I think it's so true, and something that I think many of us struggle with at different periods in our teaching careers, often at the beginning, but also I think it's cyclical, at least that's my experience, is doubting ourselves or feeling uncomfortable in the expert or authority role, or really knowing in the moment what that looks like or how that can be expressed. And my general feeling is that when we do set clear expectations and they are explicit and they are reiterated and they are practiced by us, that is a part of our level of integrity, of professionalism, and definitely of stepping it up into that confident role of expert and authority. And our students, I mean, no matter how much experience they have had, or their background or whatever, they come to us and look to us for guidance and answers and essentially leadership in this relationship. And, I think those things are important to remind ourselves of too, is that the expectation our student has of us is that we are going to be clear and we are going to be competent. We are going to be confident and we are going to stick to what we say we're going to do. We're going to follow through. We're going to show up on time. You know, we're going to be prepared. So it's like, if we can acknowledge that our students have an expectation of us that requires us to be those things, then perhaps it's easier for us to take on the role, right, and to really step into that and be stronger in our demonstration, both implicitly and explicitly, of these things that we're talking about. So I think it's really a crucial reminder, no matter how obvious it might seem, Darlene. So thank you for that. I mean, this is really, you know, it's really important stuff, and we each have to figure out how to do it that's authentic to us. But having these conversations and continuing to put out our ideas and our questions on the forum to one another and continue the conversation with me, I think is just really important. And it's not something that ends. It's not like, oh, finally, okay, I'm all set, I'm all good, I'm never going to have to change what I believe around my expectations or how I disseminate them. It's an ongoing process for sure, but I do think you will find that bit by bit you will get clearer, and you will find you are at a place that feels good, and then you get a little longer, you know, further along the path, and you will discover that, in fact, you need to come back to these things. I look forward to the continued conversation. And I would just say, if anybody has any last thoughts or comments, it's 2:04 and I don't like to hold you hostage. So if there is anything else that you want to put out there before we wrap up, I would welcome that.
This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. I was thinking about, I don't have group classes at my studio.
Right.
But what happens in if you have your expectations for group classes, I was thinking of if you arrive, let's say, 10 minutes after the class has started, due to safety reasons, you wouldn't be able to attend the class.
Yes.
I mean, it's disruptive to the other clients.
Yes.
They're taking the class as well.
Yes.
Maybe you could put something like that into your policy.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I have made that recommendation a lot of times. We've played with that at my previous studio. The challenge, I think it's great. I think it's really, really a great idea. It's incentivizing. It's very clear. And I think that if you are in an owner role and you have teachers working for you, you have to make sure that you enforce that and that they enforce that. Otherwise, it just becomes another place where you have not lived up to the expectation that you set, which then starts to diminish all the other expectations. So that can be tricky. And then, of course, if you are in a teacher in a larger studio, you know, getting the owner on board and having it be potentially, you know, an across-the-board policy. But I do think it's a great idea if we're in an environment where we can create that. Certainly, yeah, great. Thank you, Bonnie. I appreciate that. Anybody, sure. Anybody else, anything else before we close for today?
It's Harjeet. I just wanted to make a follow-up comment on what Darlene said.
Yeah.
I agree with the whole respect aspect. That's been my experience with the teachers has, you know, is a little bit more stern. And I think if I remember, part of the reason why I go to group classes or I go and see a teacher is because I'm looking for accountability, because otherwise I would just go and do it on my own,
yes,
which I have trouble with.
Yes.
And so, you know, as a student, part of my expectations for the teacher is they help me be accountable. And that's not necessarily just during the session, but before and after.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, thank you, Harjeet. It's definitely really powerful to reflect on how we are affected by those teachers, leaders, mentors, and other role models in our lives. And, you know, not be afraid to emulate them or take on those qualities or see if it's a quality we can develop in ourselves if we feel like we're struggling with any of those aspects. So wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to get on the call today. I will get the audio ready and post it up in the next day or two, and then just look forward to the continued conversation online in the next week or two. And I think, again, I would request that those of you who are on the call today perhaps take the initiative, not perhaps, but actually will take the initiative to start a conversation around a different day or time. If that feels like it would be helpful, if you love this day and time, please say so, and we'll move forward with that. And I appreciate, Harjeet, your comment about clarifying your specific audience or cultivating a niche. And if anybody is interested in having that conversation with me one-on-one, let me know. It seems to just continue to be kind of bypassed in our group calls, but perhaps next month or just in one-on-ones or on the forum, we can continue to explore that, because as Harjeet said, I think it is a really powerful piece. So, all right, let's hop off mute. We'll say our goodbyes and wishing you all a really wonderful week. Don't forget to look at the videos for the last mentoring workshop, especially if you weren't able to attend. Those are all posted and ready for you. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks, Bonnie. Rachel, thank Bye. You. Bye, everybody. Bye, Darlene.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Bye.